ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise Jesus. Good evening. For to those of us who are on site, who braved the rain to come. Good evening to all our on site, online viewers. I hope we've all had a wonderful day. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so I think this is the last part of Man in the Mirror. We have been running for, this is the third Wednesday, and we are actually considering growing up spiritually, and this is a subtopic under growing up spiritually. Praise the Lord. So we started off saying that there are three types of men. We have the natural man, we have the carnal man, and we have the spiritual man. 1 Corinthians 3. The same scripture we used last week. Verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." So there's a comparison here. It says, "I could not speak to you as to spiritual people." That means we have spiritual people and we also have carnal people. Praise the Lord. So last week we considered what it means to be carnal, and we said that carnal means to be fleshly. Majorly, carnal means to be fleshly. And there were some characteristics that we also considered last week. A carnal person is a believer who has refused to grow. That's just simply put. A carnal person is a believer who has refused to grow in the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And there were some other things that we also considered last week, talking about a carnal person and scriptures that we also read. So today we're talking about the spiritual man. And the last in this series, like I said, we're talking about the spiritual man. 1 Corinthians 3, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 3. That verse 1 to 3 shows us what, you know, more like the qualities of a carnal man. But I'm going to read it still. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 2, 13 to 15. So it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to carnal." Let me read it in Amplified Classic. It says, "However, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates, as to mere infants in the new life in Christ, unable to talk yet." He says, "I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet strong enough to be ready for it. But even yet, you are not strong enough to be ready for it, for you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh, under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envy and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men?" I remember last week telling us that I think according to Matthew 3, that when we are born again, we expect there to be fruits. It talks about, I think, in Matthew 3. Let's go to Matthew 3. Matthew 3, 8, I think. Yeah. So it says, bring forth fruits that is consistent with repentance. It says, let your lives prove your change of heart. So, a carnal person is someone that is not bringing forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. So we can't say, like I said, I am born again, my religion or my faith is in my heart. No. Your life has to prove your change of heart. Hallelujah. Our lives have to prove our change of heart. So it says, bring forth fruit. That responsibility is on us. God will not, you know, it will help us, but the onus is on us to, you know, bring forth the fruit that is consistent with repentance. It says, let your lives prove your change of heart. Let your lives prove your change of heart. So essentially, that is what this series is about. Our lives must prove our change of heart. Our, you know, as we grow, we'll look at scriptures this evening. If we're born again in, like, let's say 2000, from scriptures, we expect us to have moved, to be moving, to be growing, and we'll continue growing until we see the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. First, that same 1 Corinthians 2, that's the scripture we read for being a natural man. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 to 15. Okay, let me read from, it says, let me go back to NKJV. 13 to 15. It says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15 says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Praise the Lord. So this shows us that there's someone, like I said, there's a natural man, there's a carnal man, and there's a spiritual man. So this evening we're going to be dwelling on the spiritual man. The Greek word for spiritual, as it appears in 1 Corinthians, verse 3, is the word pneumatikos. Pneumatikos. And it essentially means belonging to the divine spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But the second meaning, which is critical to what we're talking about this evening, is one who is filled with and governed by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Pneumatikos means one who is filled with and governed by the Spirit of God. One who is filled with and governed by the Spirit of God. When we're talking about being spiritual, it is not about the looks. Yes, sometimes the looks will come into it, but we're not talking about the looks. And we're not talking about spiritual gifts, because the carnal man actually has spiritual gifts, and the carnal man also has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, but they are not making use, they are not allowing the Holy Spirit to dominate them, to govern them. And so a spiritual person is one who is filled with, the carnal man is also filled with, but the difference is that in the spiritual man, this man is governed by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. Whereas in the carnal man, he does not allow the Holy Spirit to govern his or his life. Praise the Lord. Galatians 6, verse 1. So I'm going to be saying a few things that, you know, like characteristics of a spiritual man. Just like we have characteristics of the carnal man, the spiritual man also has some characteristics. Galatians 6 verse 1 in the Amplified. In the Amplified? No, Amplified Classic, please. It says, brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, it says, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit. You who are spiritual, and in brackets, it says, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him. Without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Lest you should be tempted also. So from here, we see that a spiritual person is one who is responsive to and controlled by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A spiritual person is one who is responsive to and controlled by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that is so clear. Is responsive and controlled by. This one, I'm just, you know, lifting it from the scriptures straight away. So if you're not responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, that means you are carnal. And like I said last week, a lot of times we vacillate between being carnal and being spiritual. You know, like you choose the one you want to the word of God you want to obey, the one that suits your flesh. Maybe what the Bible is asking us to do is not like we say palatable. Or is against what you would like to do. So sometimes we choose, you know, what we want to, the part of the word of God that we want to obey. But that is carnality. Because a spiritual person should be controlled, is controlled and responsive to the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. And of course, a spiritual person is not a babe in Christ. And I'm not talking of somebody who just gave their lives, because some people, like we have said earlier, could have given their lives months ago, years ago, but have refused to grow. So a spiritual person is a mature person in Christ. Is a mature person in Christ. A spiritual person is a mature person in Christ. 1 Corinthians that we read earlier on, 1 Corinthians 3. Yeah, that verse 1, it says, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as spiritual men, but as non-spiritual men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates. It says, as to mere infants in the new life. As to mere infants in the new life. So, a spiritual person is not a babe in Christ. It's not a baby in Christ. It's someone who has matured. Who is maturing and has matured in Christ. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, the spiritual man is one who knows what belongs to him in Christ and takes advantage of it. A spiritual person is one who knows what belongs to him in Christ and takes advantage of it. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. But a babe in Christ does not know, does not seek to find out, does not take advantage of it. But a spiritual man knows what belongs to him in Christ and takes advantage of it. Praise the Lord. Takes advantage of it. Very important. Very important, because that is a major difference between a spiritual person and a carnal person. And if we go to I'm still going to quote it later on, but Ephesians 4, talking about growing up in Christ. From verse 11, it says, I'm going to verse 14, but let me start reading from verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. It says, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And look at it in verse 14. It says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So, if you are a spiritual person, you know what belongs to you in Christ, and you take advantage of it. You are not a child. You are not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. If they say that you are not one of those, they say, ah, it is happening here today. It is Mount Horeb today. You are there in Mount Horeb. Tomorrow it is Mount Sinai. You are there in Mount Sinai. And then the day after next, they say it is Mount Taborah, and you are there. Because you do not know what belongs to you in Christ. You don't know what belongs to you in Christ, and you're not taking advantage of it. So God wants us to grow and wants us to no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. In these times now, we're talking about, you know, there's this, in fact, it has not gone. We're still, you know, debating about tithe, whether to give tithe or not to give tithe and all of that. That is a carnal person, a child. If you know, no matter what anybody says, whether on social media or on the pages or whatever, you are not moved. You are not moved. You are not, you know, you're a spiritual person, you already know. Because you have gone through scriptures and it is clear to you that tithe is to be paid. Praise the Lord. So you are not moved. You know, when that season of at its peak, a lot of churches began to complain because people stopped paying tithe. Meaning that whatever it was they were doing before, they were not led. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. They are the mature sons of God. Praise the Lord. So a spiritual person knows what belongs to him in Christ and takes advantage of it. A spiritual person subjects everything in his life to the word of God. Hallelujah. Subjects everything in his life to the word of God. A spiritual person subjects everything in his life to the word of God. Not because he does everything right, but he wants to do everything right. Take note of that. Because as long as we are in this body of flesh, we will commit errors, we will make mistakes. But look at it. This person wants to do everything right. So he subjects everything in his life to the word of God. Hallelujah. Somewhere in the Old Testament, a particular, I don't remember, I would have searched for it, a particular group of people in the Old Testament, they were Israelites, and they said something. It says, whether it be good or evil, we are going to obey the Lord. Jeremiah 42. So let's look at it. Thank you, Pastor. Jeremiah 42, 5, 6. Okay? Okay, so here it says, so they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you. It says, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that is the spiritual man. Whether it is pleasing, whether it sounds good, or it's pleasing to the flesh or to the eyes, whether it is pleasing or displeasing, it says, we will obey the voice of the Lord. So a spiritual person subjects everything in his life to the word of God. Everything. Whether it is pleasing or not pleasing. 1 John 2:3-5. It says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. It says, he who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Praise the Lord. So, it says, the only way we know that we know him is when we keep his commandments. Praise the Lord. We must keep the commandments. So, a spiritual person subjects everything in his life to the word of God. Everything. So you can't say that you know God and you're not obeying his commandments. Those two things don't go together. If you know that you know God, then you must obey his commandments. Praise the Lord. Okay? The spiritual man walks and saturates himself in the love of God. The spiritual man walks, as in walks, walks and saturates himself in the love of God. So when we're talking about walking in love, you are not saying, please. You know, Paul says in Romans 5, he says, the love of God constrains us. The love of God constrains. So the spiritual man walks and saturates himself in the love of God. John 13, we quoted this last week. John 13, 34-35. This is a key scripture. Jesus was talking here and he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It says, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So the spiritual man walks and saturates himself in the love of God. 1 John 2:7-11. It says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, it's no new commandment. It's just love, love, love. The spiritual man walks and saturates himself in the love of God. And there are two sides to this. There's a love walk, like Pastor talked about, And then there's the side of us recognizing the love of God for us, because the two have to be balanced. A lot of the times, many of us are not sure of God's love for us. We're not sure of God's love for us. So when we sin or we err in one way, we are thinking maybe God has stopped loving us. No. God's love for us is everlasting. I think we talked about this sometime earlier on in the year. The love of God is not performance-based. We have to be settled in that. When we are settled in that, then it is easy for us to walk in love towards another person, because we know that God is not judging us by the things we do. Yes, the things we do are important, but God is not saying, because you did good today, you are my child. Tomorrow you did not do good. God's love is not performance-based. And we have to be settled in that. Praise the Lord. We have to be settled in that. We have to come into a full realization of that, because that will actually change our walk with God. Praise the Lord. Even when we miss it, because we know that God loves us, the first person we run to is God. And when we do that, you eliminate the condemnation of the devil. Because the devil is always looking for ways to accuse and to condemn. But he is successful because we are not sure of the love of God for us. Praise the Lord. When you are sure of the love of God for you, even when we miss it, the first person we run to is God. We go back to him. Because we know that because we have erred does not make him stop loving us. Praise the Lord. So, the spiritual man walks and saturates himself in the love of God. It's very important that we saturate ourselves in the love of God. Praise the Lord. Again, the spiritual man feeds regularly on the word of God. And this one is so key. The spiritual man feeds regularly on the word of God. Last week I said the carnal man studies or reads the scripture once in a while. Maybe a Sunday thing. Or maybe, as it comes to, okay, seems like I have time today. Let me read the scriptures. But the spiritual man feeds regularly on the word of God. Job 23 verse 12. It says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. So the spiritual man, in fact, I think I read somewhere that when Smith Wigglesworth was alive, everywhere he went, he had a New Testament Bible in his pocket. Anywhere he went, there was a New Testament Bible with him. And history had it that before he sits to eat any meal, he will bring out that New Testament and read a verse of scripture before he eats any meal. He will bring out his New Testament Bible and read a verse of scripture before he went ahead to eat. So, the spiritual man feeds regularly on the word of God. And Job here is saying, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. The reason a lot of us remain as babes is because, like they say, we use that analogy a lot of times. A lot of us feed our bodies 3 square meals, hot piping meals, and then we feed our spirit some dry stale bread. And that's the reason why a lot of the times we don't grow as believers. Praise the Lord. The spiritual man, still talking about the word of God, is skillful in the word. Hebrews 5 and verse 13. I'm reading to verse 14. It says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. It is only babes that take milk. Am I right? So, and it's saying here, anyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, the spiritual man is skillful in the word of righteousness. Is skillful in the word of righteousness. Praise the Lord. So the Bible, God requires us to be skillful in the word. Requires us to be skillful in the word. Requires us to grow and not remain babes that are unskilled in the word of righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:15. Please project it in the KJV first, then I'll read Amplified as well. 2:15. Because it's the one that talks about, yes. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker. No, that's in KJV. KJV. Okay, study to show yourself. Yes, that's what I want. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study. To show thyself approved unto God. It says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If there's a rightly dividing, that means there's a wrongly divided. Hallelujah. So a carnal person will wrongly divide, because the person will, you know, you can use scriptures to do anything to suit your purpose. You can twist any scripture to suit your purpose. Hallelujah. So, but here it's saying, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can you display that in the Amplified Classic as well, please? It says, study and be eager, and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. So a spiritual person rightly divides the word of truth. A spiritual person studies to show themselves approved. They correctly analyze and accurately divide the word of God. Praise the Lord. So, this word is so key to our growth. We must feed on it. We must be skillful in the word according to Hebrews 5. And we must rightly divide the word. Praise the Lord. Again, I think this will be the seventh point. The spiritual man is the one in whom the word has gained ascendancy over his mind and over his body. We just read Jeremiah 42 not long ago. It says, whether it be good or evil. So, the spiritual man is the one in whom the word has gained ascendancy. Matthew 4:4 is a popular scripture. Matthew 4:4. Regular in KJV. Matthew 4:4, it says, Jesus was answering. It said, answering the devil when he came to tempt him after the 40 days long fast. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So even though Jesus had gone through a 40-day fast, and he was just coming out of the fast, and he was very hungry, he had the power to turn stones into bread. And that is what the devil was actually asking him to do. Turn stone into bread. You have the power, and I'll show your power. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So even though I am hungry, I am not going to turn these stones into bread, but I am also going to be living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Praise the Lord. So the spiritual person is whom the word has, is one in whom the word has gained ascendancy. The word has gained, he has gained mastery. The word has gained mastery. Ascendancy is like mastery over his mind and over his body. The word has, he has used the word to master his mind and his body. Psalm 119 verse 105. Psalm 119 verse 105. Can we have that? Psalm 119 verse 105. Psalm 119 verse 105. And the whole of Psalm 119 actually talks about the word of God and the effect and the power of the word. 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the spiritual man is one in whom the word has gained mastery. He has used the word to gain mastery over his mind and over his body. So the word is a lamp to my feet around me, not seeing for two, and is a lamp and a light to my path when we are going, you know, on the way. So the word is, has gained mastery over the mind and body of the spiritual person. 1 Corinthians 9:27, we quoted this last week in the Easy Translation. You don't have that, I'll just read from mine. It says, Paul was talking here, it says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Praise the Lord. So the spiritual man has disciplined their body. They have disciplined their body and have disciplined their mind to the subjection of the word. Praise the Lord. And this is so key. Like I said, this is so key. Because where we fail most of the time is because our bodies have not been put into subjection and our minds have also not been renewed. So when we get born again, we need to put our bodies into subjection. Yes, I didn't read easy. This is not, let me read easy, please. That easy is not, it's very, I just saw now that I read NKJV. It says, okay, easy says, I make my body do what I want it to do. I make it like my slave. So in actual fact, our bodies are supposed to be like our slaves. It says, I make it like my slave. I have told God's message to other people. I do not want to lose the prize myself. So I try very much to obey the rules of the race. So the race has rules. Our lives as believers, there are rules. There are rules. And we must walk according to the rules. You know, this analogy comes to me, and that's what we do a lot of the times as believers. God says, this is it. This is the way I want you to serve me, or this is the way I want you to worship me, or this is what the Bible is saying. And then we as believers come and say, yes, that is what you said, but this is what I want to do. But what we want to do is not acceptable to God. So it will just be a waste of time. Praise the Lord. It will just be a waste. And this is what Paul is saying here. Because there is a race, there are rules, and there's a price. Last week I was talking about how when we get to heaven, we'll see some people that have mansions and some people that have huts, some people that their houses are uncompleted. You know, we joked about it, we laughed about it. But what it is that a lot of us are not running according to the rules of the race. So somewhere in Corinthians, it talks about how our works will be tried with fire. Some people, their works will be consumed. They will just escape by the skin of their teeth. Hallelujah. But we don't want just to escape by the skin of our teeth. I want to hear God tell me, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear at the end of the day. I don't want to escape by the skin of my teeth because I refuse to run the race according to the rules. Praise the Lord. So the spiritual man is one in whom the word has gained mastery over his mind and over his body. Praise the Lord. The spiritual man knows his inheritance in Christ. Colossians 1:12-14. We have an inheritance in Christ, and a lot of us, like I said earlier, do not know what is ours in Christ. It's not, I know that a lot of us, when we were, maybe the just preached to us, accept Christ, and when we were growing up, it was hell they used to preach. They used to preach, if you don't accept Christ, you are going to go to hell. So a lot of people say, okay, I don't want to go to hell, let me accept Christ. But after accepting Christ, we stop there. At least, I will not go to hell. But it's beyond not going to hell. Because all of the promises in the Bible are for us on this side of eternity. When we get to heaven, we are not going to be needing those promises. It says that we will see him as he is. We don't need health in heaven. We don't need prosperity in heaven. We don't need wealth in heaven. The streets of heaven are paved with gold. Hallelujah. I don't need divine protection in heaven. It says in heaven, there is no night. No night, no need of NEPA. No need of light, natural light in heaven. So, the things that are written in the scriptures, they are meant for us on this side of eternity. But a lot of us do not even know what that inheritance entails. Hallelujah. So when we don't know it, how are we going to partake of it? But the spiritual man knows his inheritance in Christ. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:12-14. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So we have an inheritance in Christ. It says he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:11, still talking about inheritance. Because there is an inheritance in Christ. There is an inheritance. A lot of us do not know it, and we're not partaking of it. It says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We have obtained an inheritance. I read that same scripture in the NLT. 1:11 in NLT. It says, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. So once we were united with Christ, there is an inheritance that we received. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So we need to know our inheritance in Christ. We need to know our inheritance in Christ. We have an inheritance in Christ. Let me quickly look at Galatians 4. Something there talking about inheritance. Verse 1. It says, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. And that is the lot of a lot of believers. We have an inheritance, But because we refuse to come of age, because we refuse to know what that inheritance is, we are not better than slaves. Praise the Lord. We are not better than slaves. Even though everything God has made available for, you know, in Psalm he said, he set a table before me. A table has been set, a banquet has been set, but we have refused to grow. So we are not partaking of the table that has been set for us. Praise the Lord. So we must grow so that we can enjoy that inheritance. Like I said, we don't need that inheritance in heaven. We don't need it in heaven. So if you don't partake of it on earth, it is a waste. Praise the Lord. It is a waste. And we need to know. I say it often. Everything that the Bible promises me, I want to experience it. Before I leave this side, I must experience it. So I'm going to look for everything that the Bible says is mine by virtue of my being a believer. And I am going to partake of it. But you must know it before you can partake of it. Praise the Lord. Closely tied to that, a spiritual person knows their identity in Christ. And this is so interesting because a lot of us don't know our identity. You know, Pastor, there's this particular... It happened, it's not a joke. But Pastor talks about it where a group of believers were trying to cast out a demon out of a person, a particular person. And the person that they were casting out the demon from was asking them, you know, talking the devil inside him, the demon, was asking them, "Where are you standing?" And they say, "I'm standing on my feet." And the person will just give them a, and they will land. And that happened to all of the people in the group until they came to the last person. And they asked, "Where are you standing?" And that person said, "I am not standing. I am seated in heaven, far above principalities and powers. I am seated in heaven in Christ Jesus." A lot of us don't know our identity. Yes, because when we became born again, I didn't turn from yellow to white. You think that nothing happened. Something happened. What happened was spiritual. There was an exchange in the spirit. There was a movement. It says here, in that first Colossians 1, it says, "Translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's own Son." So a lot of us don't know our identity. And because of that, the enemy makes a mincemeat of us. Makes a mincemeat of us. Praise the Lord. Let's look at us. Let's look at what happens to people who don't know their identity. Acts 19. And this is the story of the sons, the seven sons of Sceva. From verse 14 to 17. Of course, Paul had been preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. They had been healing. He had been, you know, all of that. And they had seen what Paul was doing. And they just thought that it was, anybody could do it. So verse 14 says, "Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it," I think I'm reading NLT, "the evil spirit replied, 'I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you?'" Question. Who are you? They couldn't answer. So the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. And that's what happens to a lot of us. Like I said, that story I just related happened in life, even though, you know, now it seems like a joke. They were spirit-filled believers. They were trying to how do we call it now? I don't want to use exorcism. It's not exorcism. They were trying to cast out a demon. They were doing deliverance, thank you, out of somebody. And they were believers. But they did not know. And the devil knows that a lot of us don't know who we are. And so makes mincemeat of us. Psalm 82. I don't know whether this is not my favorite scripture in the Bible, but it comes between in the top five. Psalm 82 and verse 6. "Who It says, I said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. And, you know, Jesus quoted the scripture in John 10. So for you to know that it's not only John 10, 34. Can we go there? John 10, 34. Because Jesus had told them that he was the Son of God. And Jesus replied, and they were arguing with that because in their minds they could not fathom how a man could say he was the Son of God. And Jesus replied, it is written in your own scriptures that God said to certain leaders of the people, I say you are gods, and you know that the scriptures cannot be altered. So if those people who received God's message were called gods, why do you call it blasphemy when I say I am the Son of God? He says, you are gods. You are gods, and you are the sons of the Most High. That is your identity. But a lot of us do not know it. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:10. Still talking about identity. Still talking about identity. Ephesians 2:10. And NLT, because it's NLT that talks about a masterpiece. I think NKJV just talks here. So, Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. Go, do NKJV for us, please. It says, for we are his workmanship. But NLT says, we are God's masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I am a masterpiece. I am not an anyhow person. I am a masterpiece. Remember that Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully created. I am a masterpiece. I know my identity. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2. I am a... Somebody needs to tell themselves that I am a masterpiece. I am not a mistake. I am not a mistake. I am a masterpiece. I am fearfully and wonderfully created in Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10. It says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. I am God's possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness, you know, like I said, into his wonderful light. I am God's possession. In Corinthians, I think 1 Corinthians 4, he says, I am God's building. I am God's building. I am God's possession. I am a masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. And somebody needs to let that ring in their hearts, because you think, oh, my life is just full of mistakes. No, I am a masterpiece. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The spiritual man is a faith-filled man. That one is not far, you know, that is not far-fetched. The spiritual man is a faith-filled man. It's a faith-filled man. 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And it says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. So, the spiritual man is a faith-filled man. Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk 2:4. And this Habakkuk 2:4 is repeated in so many other places, like four or five times in the New Testament. Habakkuk 2:4. It says, behold this, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. It says, but the just shall live by his faith. It's not just faith. I like that classification. By his faith. By his faith. And we know that in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the spiritual man is a faith-filled man who does not walk by sight, but walks by faith, who does not live by seeing but by believing. Walks by believing, not by seeing. Not by seeing, walks by believing. Praise the Lord. Second to last, I think the spiritual man is passionate about the things of the kingdom. He's passionate about the things of the kingdom. And this is talking about, again, an Old Testament scripture quoted in the New Testament. And when this was when Jesus went into the temple and was chasing out all those people that were selling in the temple. 16 to 17. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered what it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So a spiritual man is concerned and passionate about the things of the kingdom. About the things of the kingdom. So a spiritual man is not one that, you know, like the Bible says in, and permit me to say that in Hebrews 10, not forsaking, does not forsake the assembly of others. Because we need ourselves to grow. Romans 8. Did I put it here? Romans. Okay, I think I've mixed up something here. I'll leave that. I think I mixed up something there. Anyway, so the spiritual man is passionate about the things of God. Okay, let me read Romans 8:35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" It says, "As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." It says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I am persuaded. So the spiritual man is passionate about the things of God. Praise the Lord. Let me see if I can add one more. I wanted to make it 12. 12 is the number of what? Government. Leadership. Government. Yes. Government. I wanted to make it 12 points. So let me see if I can add one. And I think this will tie into what we have said earlier on, talking about fruits. Yes. So, a spiritual man brings forth good fruit. Brings forth fruit. Good fruit. A spiritual man brings forth good fruit. Matthew 7. Let me read from verse 15 to 20. Time is up. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." It says, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." So a spiritual person brings forth good fruit, bears good fruit. You know, you can, like I said, you can't say, "I, my faith, my faith is in my heart. No, it has to show forth. And that is what Galatians was talking about when it was talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. About the works of the flesh, and then from verse 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says against such there is no law. And look at it, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Those who are Christ, so a spiritual person has crucified the flesh with his passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So in conclusion, how do we grow spiritually? Because that is the whole essence of this series, of this topic. We must feed on the Word. We must feed on the Word. We must feed on the Word. Essentially, we must dwell in the New Testament and particularly in the epistles. We must feed on the Word. How do we grow? We must feed on the Word, and essentially in the New Testament. Yes, we read the whole Bible, but we must dwell on the new in the New Testament, and on essentially, more importantly, the epistles to the church. Because for the Gospels, it just told us, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The synoptic Gospels are the first three. Talks essentially about how when Jesus came, what Jesus did. But it was when we get into the epistles that tells us the importance of the coming of Jesus. And what is death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, what it achieved for us, what it was supposed to do. So we must dwell essentially in the epistles. We must study the plan of redemption. We must know the present day ministry of Jesus. What is Jesus doing for us as we speak? We must know that. We must know it. There are lots of other things. Let me just stop with that. We must study the plan of redemption. We must know the present day ministry of Jesus. I think Pastor Kenneth Hagin has a small pamphlet on the present, something, a book on the present day ministry of Jesus. You can search it out. God never planned on us remaining babies spiritually any more than he planned on us remaining babies physically or mentally. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. We must therefore renew our minds, as Paul advised in Romans 12, 1 to 2. Just want to read Romans 12, 1 to 2. We know that scripture. And I told you last week that for me, once we become born again, that is the first place we should look at, renewing our minds. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 4:23. Let's revise this evening. Ephesians 4:23. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Praise the Lord. We must put it on. I think last week I read some scriptures that talked, this same Ephesians 4, talking about putting something off. So it's like there's a change. You put something off. when you, you know, when you give your life, and then you put something on. There has to be an exchange. You put something off. You put off the old man, the conduct of the old man, and then you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And again tonight, I can't read Colossians 3, but please, when you get home, please read Colossians 3, 1 to 16. There's a lot in there. Colossians 3, 1 to 16. Shall we rise this evening? Shall we rise this evening? I want us to just pray.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,